Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. Today's episode is entitled, Why Do You Call Him, Jesus, Word Lord, and Do Not the Things He Says? For a very long time in my life, this verse, which occurs in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, was a verse that challenged me a great deal. And it did so because God was beckoning me to have a walk with Him that was filled with integrity and that was serious. And God was calling me out of being merely religious. And so, this verse has spoken to me over the years in a very powerful manner. This verse changed my life. God used it to convict my conscience about where I was and where I should be. And so, I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through verse 49, and then I'm going to be reading to you also from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 46, Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on rock. It literally reads in English, on a rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for as it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. These words are, of course, a part of the great message that has been called the Sermon on the Mount, which occurs in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And so you would find these words in Matthew 7:24-27. But you will not find this verse, Luke, that is Luke 6:46, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You will not find this verse in Matthean version of this Sermon on the Mount. But note specifically verse 46 and what the verses that follow. And so what we have, or these are, of course, the words of the Lord Jesus. And he is speaking about two different approaches to life. He is speaking, beginning in verses 47 and 48, about a life that is built upon the foundation, if you will, of the Word of God. Notice what he says in verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me. And so we have a present middle passive participle, cometh to me, and heareth my sayings. This word is, heareth is very important. It is used in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Hebrew verb is shema, hear or listen. In the Hebrew, this term hear means to hear with a view to obeying the truth. To hear with a view to obeying. The Greek word akouo means virtually the same thing, to hear with a view to obey. Neither of these terms embody the understanding that one can merely have a listen to the Word of God in a superficial manner. Hearing is a somatic endeavor. Hearing is an intrinsically somatic act. That is, all of one's being, including the body, is involved in the act or the activity of hearing or listening deeply. Listening in a deeply and richly existential manner, in the sense of an existential imperative. It is necessary, in other words, it is necessary in the nature of the case to hear the Word of God in a deep manner. Because when one hears the Word of God in a very deep and somatic manner, one is hearing truth. Truth changes the life. If the volition or the will of the individual has been bent for that which is unhealthy, or the individual has lived a life of self-sabotage or negativism, then the Word of God shapes the will in such a way that the life, of course, of the individual is reshaped. When the thinking is reshaped, then the synapses of the brain changes towards that direction. And so all of one's being is involved in hearing, hearing God appropriately, responding appropriately to the Word of God. Now, at this point, let me get rid of the term invitation. There's no invitation here as such. The Word of God means involvement. In some old theology, the word was encounter, a genuine encounter with the person of Christ. Let's go beyond encounter, because these words are meant to shape us or to reshape the mind. In the Greek, which is called the nous. In OUS, is this word here is designed to shape one's thinking. And so therefore, the cardia, that is the Greek word for heart. The heart is modeled after, begins to be modeled after the words of God. And when we hear the word of God appropriately, then idolatry begins to break up. Because as long as we follow idolatry or egolatry, we cannot follow God in an appropriate manner. And so life remains really mediocre. And if one wants a dynamic and powerful spiritual life, one must follow the word of God. Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying. Okay? And the word here is akubo, or akuen, and doeth them. Notice the relationship, reciprocity. Notice the engagement. Heareth my sayings and doeth them. Not mere intellection, but to hear with a view to obeying, that is, doing the word of God from the heart. It is in doing that we change. Doing is action. So therefore, to hear the word of God means that one will do the necessary action that proves one has heard the word of God with a view to obeying. These two are together. There's a unitary meaning or understanding here. So it is worth meditating upon these words. Heareth my sayings and doeth them. And then Jesus goes on and he says, I will show you to whom it is like. These are very powerful words. And we get, through reading these words, we get an understanding as to the person and of Jesus. We get to understand his mindset. We get to understand the thinking of God through these words. Verse 46. He is like a man, or anthropo. Now, there are three Greek words for man. There is, of course, anthropo, which is neuter, refers to both male and female. And there is aner, which refers to man. And then there is gune, the Greek word for woman. And, of course, there is... So these are the three basic terms in the New Testament that refers to man. And so here we have anthropo, which means male or female. It is likened to a person which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. The indefinite article is not in the Greek. It's just the Greek read and lay the foundation on rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently or incessantly upon that house. That is, the stream, the waters rose and burst upon and tore toward that house. Word also means to break against. Life happens to all of us. And notice that the house here, the house is being used in the sense of that person's life. Oikos. life, that particular situation. And notice, when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon rock. Very important to understand the depth of what is being said here. Notice the words, and could not shake it. Now, the rock that this particular house was founded upon was none other than Jesus himself. See, he is our foundation. Paul wrote that no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. So we, that is you and I, must build our life upon Christ himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes something very different, very important for us to understand. He writes in beginning in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, that is the Shekinah glory, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and that all eat the same spiritual food, and that all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drink of that spiritual rock." That rock, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So if you haven't read these words in a long time, or if you have never read them before, please read these words. And again, let me say, please meditate upon these words. And that rock was Christ. So he is speaking of, when Jesus speaks of that rock, he is speaking of that which represents stability, integrity, that which is reliable, and that which remains. And so we read in Paul's letter to Ephesians that he is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Therefore we have peace with God through Christ Jesus. Irene, we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. In Mark 11:22, Jesus said to his own, "Have faith in God." And so therefore, we are enjoined to have faith in who God is. The verb have in Mark 11:22 is the verb echo. In Greek, it means to hold. We're to hold on to faith in God. Have faith in God. Pistis, the word for faith. Pistis is a noun of action, as we say. It is a noun of action. Have faith in God. Now, in the world or in the cosmic system, an individual might say, "Have faith," and it is a sentence, as not a verb. It is a sentence. It's not a sentence fragment. But notice Scripture. Notice what the Word of God tells us: have faith in God. And so, who is the subject Oh, this, declare the sentence, God. Have faith in God. In God, we have the preposition in, and then we have the noun God. And we have the preposition phrase, have faith in God. And so, God is enjoining us to trust Him, have faith in God. Jesus says in this particular verse in Luke, that when the flood arose, life happens. Not if, Jesus says, when. Jesus said in John's Gospel, in this world we'll have tribulation. Which, and it literally means you will be in tight places in this world, in this cosmos. You will be in tight places, speaking to His own. So, and when the flood arose, not if, but when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, wanting literally to shatter it, wanting to smash that house to pieces, wanting to wreck it, wanting to completely demolish and destroy this house. Now, in the Old Testament, we read about the house of David and what happened to the house of David through sinful acts. Now, mind you, there are some houses that God completely eradicated, some family lines that God wiped out. We read in the antediluvian world that all the family lines were destroyed except the family line of Noah. His sons. So they became the progenitors of the families of the post-antediluvian world. But notice that the house of David had been decimated through acts of sin until the Bible talks about the roots of the boots of David. It had been reduced to a little, but God would use that and nurture that and build the house of David. And the lion of the tribe of Judah would come through the family line of David, who would be the savior of the world. In the New Testament, we have two genealogies. In Matthew, we are given the genealogy of Joseph. In Luke, we are given the genealogy of Mary. And because of the sin of Caniah that is recorded in the book of Jeremiah, Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, did not inherit the throne of Judah through Joseph, but the Messiah inherited the throne of Judah through Heli, the family of Miriam, or Mary, his mother. So, this is very important. It is very important to know that God's word proves to be true. You and I must study the word of God in order to learn about the person of God. And so, life happened to this particular life and could not shake it. Jesus said, for it was founded upon rock. Now, this is a very interesting verse. And he goes on in verse 49, and he says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation that built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great." So he speaks of the two ways, the two foundations, the two houses. And notice that in verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" What is it that Jesus says to us? He says that we're to hear in verse 47, we're to hear his sayings, and then we are to do them. We are to hear akouo, his words, with a view to obeying what is heard. Another way of saying this is understanding that obedience is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, "By their fruit you shall know them." By their fruit you shall know them. In other words, by what people do, you shall know them. In the West, we like to say, "Well, what I say, will you merely listen to the words?" But the Bible tells us consistently in both the Old and the New Testament, we are to watch the actions, the actions. Watch the actions. The actions tell you who people are. Not what they say. The action. What people do tells us who people are. And so, this is the perspective of the Word of God. And so, the mandate here is obedience. It is, the mandate is to hear with a view to obey. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" It is inconsistent. It is, in fact, a phony spiritual life if one merely hears without a view to obey. The flesh does not want us to crucify it, Galatians 2:20, because the flesh wants us to remain in idolatry so that we are subject both mental and physical and spiritual dis-ease. We must crucify the flesh. We must get serious about the Word of God. We must read Luke 6:46 with this awareness. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" It calls for considering what these words mean. And if we want a real spiritual life, then we must hear with a view to obeying. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and have a wonderful day.